Color, la radio libre de Cuenca. Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Manu, and welcome back, by the way, to What's a Fact on our third edition today. Okay, I'm very happy to be presenting today's program, okay, together with my mates. Okay, we've got Agus on the desk.
Hello.
Okay, we have got Anna, as usual.
Hello.
Okay, thank you, Anna. And today, we've got somebody new. That's Brenda.
Hello, baby.
Okay. So happy with us today. Okay, and of course I would like to greet the rest of the What's a Fact crew. Okay, that would be Christina, okay, who will be back with us in short, and also Mariluz. Well, hello to you girls from your
and
homes.
Also Bea.
And also Bea.
Yeah.
So
it works. She can be here.
Okay, and fine, so welcome, as I said. Where can we find us, by the way? Well, you can find us on the internet, of course, on www.radiocolor.es, okay, then on the radio, okay, 106.2 FM, okay, and also you can search for us on Facebook, okay?
Yeah.
Fine. So
you can see our pictures on Facebook too, I believe.
Yeah.
So that will be great.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't think I need to introduce Agus and Anna again. Okay, the fantastic teachers. Okay, and fantastic radio
speakers.
And
also good persons.
And, you know, even better person.
Yeah.
Okay, but as you don't know Brenda, okay, I would like to ask her to introduce herself to all of you. So, Brenda, could you tell us anything about you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was born in the Dominican Republic. It's an island in the Caribbean. I really love dancing. My boyfriend hates it. He doesn't like dance. I'm trying to teach him, but I don't know. It's a process. I came to Spain like 7 years ago, and I was living in Madrid. I really love Madrid, but I moved to Cuenca like 4 months ago. I really love the city too, and the weather here is a little bit cold, but I'm trying to get used to it, so it's fine.
No,
I really like
it's not
and
cold.
I
don't know why you mentioned that. It's not cold.
Like the Caribbean, like 30 degrees. Yeah. It's the same, yeah.
We are so close.
Yeah.
in summer.
I know that. I hear merengue and walk on the streets on Cuenca. It's the same.
Sure.
I understand your boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
Because probably you dance very well and he doesn't. It's the same.
He said like, oh, man, we don't dance. We just stand on the...
And talk.
Yeah, and talk and drink.
So
that's
drink.
It.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same person.
Okay.
He's a nice guy.
So thank you very much. Brenda, could you tell us, what do you do, Brenda?
Well, I'm a teacher. I'm an English teacher. I really love my job. And especially because I learn something new every day. So it's great.
That's the wonder, one of the wonders of teaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. So thank you very much, Brenda.
Thanks.
So let me tell you what we're going to do today on What's the Fact 3. Right, as usual, we will start with some grammar mistakes, okay, that you might be, you know, happy to know. And then after that, we're going to do some reading, listening, okay? And that's going to be read. That's going to be done by Anna. Okay, she's kindly reading an extract. Okay, of a very nice book.
Romantic book. Oh, you're going to love that.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, you know, I'm not that romantic.
You need to put that voice romantic.
Romantic. Okay, after that, we'll have a musical break. Okay, so we'll play a new song for you with a new idiom included. Okay,
and this is probably my favorite part of the program. I really like it.
So, I'm sure our listeners will like it.
Yep.
Okay, and finally, as a main course, we'll have the fact. Okay, and this week, the fact will be British versus American English, okay? Ooh. But not necessarily versus, okay? We can all be friends. Okay,
no, so it's no. British. This is going to be a
It's going to be a fight?
Yeah, okay. Round one, round two, and death.
Okay, I can't wait, okay? Good. So, fine. So, let's get started, guys. Well, first part is it's my turn, okay? So, as in the two previous weeks, I'm going to comment on a few grammar mistakes. Grammar, but sometimes spelling. Yeah. So, for example, the first one that I would like to comment on today is some irregular plurals. Okay. Well, one kind of irregular particular, that is words that end in F or in F-E, okay, which usually make the plural in, you know, by changing the F into a V, okay? Mm-hmm. So, for example, life, okay? Everybody knows the word life, okay? But sometimes we tend to forget that the plural of life is lives, okay? With a V, okay? That would be L-I-V-E-S, okay? So there is a little irregularity there, okay? The same happens with wife, okay, and wolf, okay? Mm-hmm. And the majority of words ending in one F or in F-E, okay? Although not always, okay? It's not always the case. Fine. Now, let's also talk about another typical mistake, okay, that many people make. By the way, we say make mistakes. It's actually difference between do and make, okay? They've got the same meaning in Spanish. You know, Brenda, what's the translation of both do and make?
It's basically the same. Mm-hmm. Do things and maybe make some dinner, but you have to use it in different situations.
That's absolutely right. And what's the translation in Spanish? What's the Spanish word for both of them?
Hacer, do, hacer. Mm-hmm. It's the same.
That's it. Okay. So Brenda was already suggesting some of the uses. Okay. For example, Brenda suggested do things. Okay. That's very good. And she said make dinner. Okay, that's very good. So, in general, but just in general, okay, don't take this as a very strict or fixed rule. In general, do is for general things, okay, and make is for things that are sort of created, that from scratch, from zero, we make things. But, you know, as I said, don't take this as a very powerful rule, okay? Girls, do you know any other examples with do? We can do things, we can do something, but what else can we actually do?
Homework?
Yeah.
I'm not a girl, yeah. But...
Sorry.
You have to say homework.
But I'm here.
Okay, August, I totally forgot about you. I'm so sorry.
No, I know it. I am the ugly one, so...
So, do homework. That was very good, August. Thank you, boy. So, any other examples? Anyone?
You can say you can do a sport.
That's very good. We can do a sport and we can do exercise. And we can do exercise, like physical exercise, and you can do exercises, okay, as homework. You can do homework. Okay? And what things can we actually make?
I would say make plans. Or
that's what I was going to say. I really like that.
You know, in that case, I know it's plants are not really created, okay? Mm-hmm. You're not making plants with your hands, maybe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's one of the uses of make.
Creative part of the...
Yeah, exactly.
You have to think about it.
There was nothing before, and now you have plants, so you have made plants. Anything else with make?
Hmm.
For example...
What about, can I say this, make love?
Make love, very good, okay.
Make a cake.
Make a cake, okay. Anything related to food would be make. That was a very good point, Agus. And I've got like a little quiz question for you. How would you say the Spanish phrase, hacer la cama? Do or make?
I would say make, but I'm probably wrong.
No, you're not wrong at all.
Okay, why?
It's make the bed. It's make the bed, okay? But many people, you know, just don't know about that. Okay.
I think in Spanish there's an expression... it's like, te han hecho la cama, is when somebody did something bad to you or something like that?
Yeah, like somebody... somebody, I don't know.
I would say that somebody
deceives
helps you to fail.
Yeah.
It's something that helps you to fail. It's very useful in sports, for example. In football, when you are going to head a ball, and the defender doesn't jump, he helps you to fall down.
Okay.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you are in the air, and you are. It's like you are pushed by him because he doesn't jump with you.
Okay.
So finally, when you I don't know what to say.
When you want to.
You lose your
balance.
Your balance, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he helps you to fail.
Okay. Wow.
Okay.
That's a good one.
And that's it. So we can. There are many things that we can do, and many other things that are actually made. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. And also, I would like to comment on the difference between countable and uncountable nouns. Okay. We have got the same in Spanish, okay, but sometimes it's a little bit tricky because they don't coincide always, okay. Fine. So, can anyone tell me what a countable noun is?
It's a name that has a plural, for example, and there are more things. You can use a before it.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. And if you go deeper. Yes, you can count them, of course. Yeah, that's the origin of countable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes I tell my students, the first thing you need to try to do in order for you to know if this word is countable or uncountable, just try to count it. You know. So, for example, let's practice this. Okay. For example, let's take the word pen. Okay, can we count the word pen? Can you try one pen, two pens, three pens?
Yeah. Yes.
Of course we can.
Definitely we can.
So that makes the word countable. It's a countable noun. Okay. How about the word sugar? Can we say one sugar, two sugars?
No.
No.
We can say one cup of sugar, but in that case we're counting cups.
Absolutely. No. Okay. So, you know, sugar would be uncountable because we cannot count it. We cannot put a name. And what I was said was actually very interesting because, when a noun is countable, we can add an article like a, okay, a pen, cup.
A bottle. Yeah.
Exactly. And also we can, make it plural, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So some pens, some cups, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, uncountable nouns, on the contrary, they cannot be, they cannot have the article a, okay? We cannot say a sugar, we have to say sugar or some sugar, etc.
Yeah.
Right? And of course, they cannot be in plural, okay? We can never say sugars, we can never say
sand.
Okay, sands, that doesn't really exist.
But I have a question, because, for example, with time, is uncountable. But what if I say I call you two times?
Mm-hmm. Well, there would be different meanings of the word time, okay? Mm. Time can be used as an uncountable noun, okay? What it means, like physical time, like time on the clock, okay? I have been waiting for you for a long time. No, That's not the best example. You know.
I heard that, like, I called you 2 times, or I was knocking on the door, and I knocked the door 3 times, and you didn't answer.
In that
like
case, time or times means veces in Spanish.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why we can make it countable. We can... We can add.
We have once, twice, and three, four, five, and a certain times.
Infinite times.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. And now, related to this that I've just said, we've got much and many. Okay. They are similar in meaning. Okay. But they don't. They're not used in the same way. Right. Much. The meaning of much is Agus.
Mucho.
Uh-huh. Okay. And the meaning of many, Brenda?
Mucho. Mucho.
Muchos.
Muchos.
Okay. Fine. So, you know, but which one do we use with which kind of nouns? Which is the one that we use with countable nouns? For example, countable?
Many.
Many. Okay. And obviously, much would be used with uncountable nouns.
Yeah.
Okay. So, can anyone give me an example with much and another one with many?
I can see much love.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. So true. So true for this radio.
Yeah. Much love. You cannot count it, but there is a lot.
Uh-huh. Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anna, can you give us an example with many?
Yeah. You can say, I have many books.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or I have many, I don't know, many talents.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Something like that.
Which is also true.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so that's it. So that's it for today. However, when we get to the fact, okay, at the end of the program, we will be talking and discussing about more grammar points, okay? Vocabulary, spelling, but also some grammar, okay?
Okay.
Good. So now we'll finish with this. Let's introduce the new section today, okay? Anna, it is your turn now,
yes.
Okay? So please, would you be so kind as to read us some bits of the book that you brought today?
Yes, definitely. Before we start, we can give a bit of background into what the book is about.
Great, okay, fantastic.
So the book today that we'll look at is called The Count of Monte Cristo. So do you guys know anything about the book? Maybe you can say?
I know it's a book from by Alexandre Dumas.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's a French writer.
Yes.
And I also have watched the movie and the TV series too.
Wow. Cool.
And it's a story that I really love.
Yeah.
Have you watched it?
No, unfortunately I haven't.
You should. It's very, very nice. I recommend both.
Okay, okay. I watched the movie many years ago, but I really can't remember exactly the details of the story.
Okay, so maybe I can help now and refresh that, and also for the listeners, give a bit of background.
Thank you.
So the book is set after the French Revolution, and it's related to Napoleon, so he features in the story. So I can read a bit about what it's about. So the book is set in Marseille in France, and it's in 1815. And it's about a man called Edmond Dante. And this man is preparing for his wedding day. But he has some enemies who have other plans.
No.
And this man is arrested and sent to an island prison called Chateau d'If.
Mm-hmm.
And for 14 years, he waits for the right moment to escape. Okay?
Wow. Okay.
Yes. So maybe we can read some of the book.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Okay?
I'm really expecting that.
Okay. So the first chapter is A Wicked Plan. So, on February 24th, 1815, a ship called the Pharaon sailed into Marseille, the largest port in the south of France. People ran to the waterside to welcome it, because the arrival of a ship is always a great excitement in Marseille, especially if it belongs to an owner from the town. A young man was standing on the deck, watching the sails and giving careful orders to the sailors. He was between 18 and 20 years old. Tall, with fine dark eyes and fair hair. His calm face showed that danger meant nothing to him. The ship's owner, Monsieur Morel, could not wait for the ship to arrive in port and jumped into a small boat. "Take me to the Pharaon," he ordered, and soon he was on the ship's deck. "Welcome home, Dante," he said to the young man. "But where is Captain Leclerc?" "It's very sad, monsieur," replied Edmond Dante, taking off his hat. "We lost our good captain between Naples and Rome." "And the cargo?" asked the owner, worriedly. "It's all safe, monsieur. But poor Captain Leclerc died suddenly after a short illness. We gave him a sailor's funeral, and there he rests on the Mediterranean seabed." "Well, we all have to die at some time. As long as the cargo, all is well with it, monsieur. But here is Monsieur Danglars, who takes care of that side of things. You can ask him." The owner turned to a man of about 25 with a dark, unsmiling face. The sailors hated him as much as they loved Dante. "Well, monsieur," said Danglars, "you've heard the bad news." "Yes, yes, poor Captain Leclerc, a fine, honest man, and an excellent sailor. Just the kind of man for an important company like Morel and Son," answered Danglars. "Yes, although it's good to see that Dante can take the captain's place so well," said Morel, watching Edmund. "Well," said Danglars, looking at Dante with hatred in his eyes, "he's young and confident, but he made us lose a day and a half by stopping at the island of Elba for no good reason." "Did he?" replied Morel, surprised. "That was wrong of him. Dante," he called, "come over here. I'd like a word with you." The young man came closer. "Yes, monsieur," he asked. "I wanted to ask you why you stopped at the island of Elba." "Monsieur, I had to obey Captain Leclerc's last order. As he lay dying, he told me to take a letter to the Emperor Napoleon, who's living on Elba, and that's what I did." "Young man," said Morel, "you did well to obey your captain, but perhaps you'll get into trouble for it. The king and his friends will be so angry if they hear you've taken a letter to their worst enemy." "I only obeyed an order. Is that all, monsieur?" "I think the emperor gave him a letter to take to someone in Paris," but in the shipowner's ear. I saw it." "If Dante has a letter, he'll tell me about it," replied Morel, confidently. "Dante, you're free to go now. Can you come and have dinner at my house this evening?" "Thank you for your kind invitation, monsieur. But the first thing I must do is visit my father. He's an old man now." "You're a good son, Dante, and you have another person to visit, perhaps. A lover? The beautiful Mercedes?" "We are not lovers, monsieur," the young man replied seriously. "She is my fiancée. We hope to marry very soon." "Well, go now, Dante, and in 3 months' time, come back to see me. The Pharaon will be ready for the next trip." And Morel put his hands on Edmund's shoulder with its new captain.
Okay, very nice effort.
Well, thank you very much.
You read very, very well. I think I'm going to pay you to read to me because I really like it.
A really sweet voice.
Yes.
Perfect.
So maybe for the listeners, we can give them a bit of homework.
Yes.
Or discuss some of the words first.
Sounds mm-hmm. good.
Okay, so were there any words maybe that you picked upon that were maybe different or unusual?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I can.
Well, perhaps I would make the point that, you know, you use monsieur all the time.
Yes.
Okay, obviously, because it's a French book. It's based in France. So, you know, we don't usually say monsieur in English.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because this is a French book, you know, based on French history, etc. You know, so that's why she was saying monsieur.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. But, a lot of the words, obviously, because it's to do with a port and ships and things mm-hmm. like that, a lot of the vocabulary is related to that. So maybe we can discuss some of those.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so for example, port.
Yeah, mm-hmm. in Spanish it's exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
We have puerto, mm-hmm. and it is in a city always. That's mm-hmm. the difference probably with harbor,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
sometimes harbor is not exactly what port.
Yeah, harbor is natural. It's like yeah. a natural shape of nature, or you know, on the beach or something. Mm-hmm. And a port is made by man.
Made specifically for this.
For ships. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And obviously the deck,
uh-huh.
the deck of the ship. So the floor.
It's exactly. La cubierta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. And cargo.
Es la carga, el cargamento.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the things that a ship carries as
yeah,
well.
Of course.
Okay, and then maybe some others. Delight.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that means a strong feeling of happiness.
Yeah, good definition.
For example, listening to Anna. you know, read. It's a delight. It's a true delight.
Yeah. And also, maybe on the other side, wicked. So, obviously, this has negative connotations, and it means someone who is evil or horrible.
I mean, yeah. Spanish would be malvado.
Yeah, malvado. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I would like to comment on that as well, because in at least in British English, okay, we say wicked just for the opposite. Like when somebody suggests or says something really cool, really nice, say wicked. You know, it's like really cool, really nice.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, especially nowadays, but maybe when this book was written.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the original meaning of wicked was negative, like horrible. Uh-huh. But nowadays, you know, don't be misled, because it might mean exactly the same, the opposite.
Yeah.
There are other examples, like crack. Crack has a negative meaning, but now in Spanish we use it like something is very, very extremely gifted in something. It's es un crack.
Yeah. That's confusing,
With that word, there is a song that I really like called Wicked Games, like Chris Isaac. I don't know if you know him. And
yes, I know the song.
You know,
I like
song. I like it. In that case, it's like Juegos Malvados, because I think she's trying to fool him or something like that.
There's even a very long-lasting and a very famous musical called Wicked. Okay, it's related to the Wizard of Oz. Okay, and I haven't seen it, but I would love to. You know, it's I've got friends who are real fans of that. So Wicked, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So maybe now we can give a few questions for the listeners that they can do. Okay, so the first one. So on February 24th, 1815, one of these things happened. So number one, Napoleon gives Edmond Dante a letter. Or number two, the captain of the Pharaon, Leclerc, dies. Or number three, the Pharaon arrives in Marseille.
Mm, okay, so where can they find those questions? And Manu, can you explain us?
Yeah, sure. It will be all this description and all this homework, okay, for you to do, will be on a podcast, okay, on the website. So on www.radiocolor.es, okay? So you can find it there, okay?
Cool.
Very good. So thank you very much, Anna. Okay, that was a lovely read. And now let's get to, you know, Agus's favorite part, which is the musical break.
Okay? Yeah. No, but probably now my favorite part is the reading.
Okay. So let's get to your second favorite part. Okay, so let's listen to What You See Is What You Get. Okay, so Brenda would like to talk about it.
Yeah, okay, we're going to play this great song by Tina Turner. She's an American singer, you might know her. And we want to practice a phrase, is what you see is what you get. But in the song, she uses backwards. Her song is What You Get Is What You See. It means the same. You can use this phrase when you want to say that you aren't hiding anything or keeping anything secret. So it's a very interesting phrase you can use in many different situations in life. For example, can you say an example, guys? Like
in an exchange, probably. If you want to buy your device, your mobile phone, for example, and you want to show someone the what you see is what you get.
Yeah,
it is really a good mobile.
Yeah,
nothing hidden inside of it. Or
the salesman can tell you, like, listen, what you see is what you're going to get. I am not trying to fool you. This is real.
Mm-hmm.
And in this song, I use this to talk about like the way she is and the way she wants to meet this perfect, beautiful guy. She wants something real, not rubbish. You can also see on the lyrics of this song some references about beautiful guys, like good looking.
Mm-hmm.
For example, she uses Greek Adonis, Greek Adonis. Wow, you know that.
Thank
Greek.
You.
Oh, like Manu and Agus here, they are our Greek Adonis. You're perfect.
Yeah, they don't know us, so probably they think it's true.
It's good that they can't see us outside.
No, but it's true. She says in the lyrics, some boys got the look of the Greek Adonis. Some boys try to talk off your feet. Some boys think they are good gift to women. Some boys think they are sweet enough to eat. I really like that last part, sweet enough to eat. I don't know how to take that, but well, it's great. And I think we can play that song now, August, right? Yeah. Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Of course.
Okay, so let's go through what you get is what you see.
So, well, thanks for listening. Did you like the song, guys?
Of course.
Yes. Of course, because you are our Adonis. That's why you like this song.
Yeah, do you know something about Tina? She has retired, but she performed last year, I think, or two years ago, because she was 17 years old.
And she's, I mean, she's looking great. Have you seen her?
And her legs.
Her legs. But she's looking just great.
She's as amazing as ever.
Yes. Yeah. You know. I think she was living in Italy. And I really like her song with this Italian singer,
Eros Ramazzotti.
I love that song. Stoy pensando en ti.
Oh, yeah.
And great. She has another curiosity that I'm sure you will find interesting, that she has she's half American, half from Switzerland.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah.
Wow. I heard, actually, because I'm planning to go to Switzerland quite soon, I heard that she got the Swiss citizenship, okay, because perhaps she wanted to hide some money in one of the Swiss banks. I'm sorry to give any, you know, this ugly information about her, but that's what I heard on a TV program, I think. So, but maybe she's just like...
she likes Switzerland. she likes to ski or chocolate.
I read a little bit about her marriage. I think she had a very bad marriage back in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And her husband used to beat her. It was horrible for her. So
But now
she's having a very good life. But she has another.
She remarried. Got married recently. That's with a very younger man.
She knows what she does. She does.
And she told to him, "What you see is what you get."
Yeah. Clever, clever
I've
girl.
I've got nothing to hide.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now, shall we get to the facts?
Yeah.
Okay. So today on What's the Fact 3, okay, we've got a brilliant fact, in my opinion. It's British and American English, okay? Brenda insisted that she wanted to make this into a fight. Okay, so let's see. No, Brenda, what are you doing? Brenda, no, don't stand up. Don't come to me. Brenda, no, no.
Die.
Brenda, no.
Die. Quiet. And now listen to me.
Okay, she's a little bit aggressive, but she's nice.
I'm sweet.
Deep inside,
deep
she's
inside.
Very sweet. All right, so let me start with a nice quotation that we like. It goes like this: England and America are two countries separated by the same language. Mm. Okay. I think it's a very interesting quote. The author of the quote is not very, very clear, okay? But according to Google, it might have been said by George Bernard Shaw.
Okay? One of my favorite authors. Yeah, he wrote Pygmalion.
Yeah.
And there's a movie about that book too, with the beautiful Audrey Hepburn.
Do you mean...
Pygmalion, but
Pygmalion, okay.
They changed the name for the movie.
Because I know that My Fair Lady...
Yes, okay, book. Is Audrey Hepburn the main actress?
I'm not sure. I have seen the musical, but here in Spain, so obviously not with Audrey Hepburn in it.
No. Yeah, but it's My Fair Lady. Very
My
good.
Fair Lady, yes. Yeah. It's based on the myth of Pygmalion.
Yes.
Okay. Good. So, you know, England and America are two countries separated by the same language. Mm-hmm. Okay. What does this quotation suggest you, guys?
When you read that, came to my mind what happens with Spanish. Mm-hmm. In the Spanish that we speak here in Spain is a little bit different of the Spanish that we speak in Latin America.
Oh, yeah.
So I think I can relate to that. It's a very good example.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk about that if you like. But, you know, do you think, do you agree with the quote, like England and America are two countries separated by the same language? So they speak the same language. It's still English, don't worry. But, you know, is it really that different? What do you think? What are your experiences, you know, as English speakers? Anna is a native speaker, by the way. So, Anna, do you find when you watch a film from America, when you listen to any American English, does it feel so different to you?
I think, generally speaking, that the way we understand each other, like with TV and books and things like this, is very similar, obviously. Mm-hmm. But there are some words which contrast completely. Uh-huh. So things like that really stick out. Uh-huh.
I would say that especially slang. Mm-hmm. When it comes to slang, okay. So in other words, the less formal the language is, the more different it feels, or it is, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. If you speak, if imagine that you are in an international conference and there are British people and people, you know, they will probably understand each other perfectly because the language is very formal, it's very similar. Mm-hmm. Okay. However, imagine that you take someone from the East End of London, for example, to talk with someone from the Bronx in New York. Okay. You know, and they speak, you know.
My people from the Bronx.
Okay. Yeah. Something
you
like that.
You have to move your arm like this. Well, you can see me, but I'm moving my arms like this. I'm a rapper.
I'm sure they know what you are doing.
Okay.
I love it.
So that would be like really, really different kinds of English. Okay. I'm not a native speaker, but I do have the feeling sometimes that, you know, yes, of course, in general, I understand American English, no problem, but it's so different at the same time,
you know,
in terms of vocabulary, in terms of pronunciation, and even grammar, you know, some grammar structures.
Spelling.
And spelling, of course, when you read it.
Yeah, for me, I learned American English, and for me, it's like softer. And a little bit softer than from the British English. Like, for example, we don't say tomato. For me, it's like very hard. We say tomato, rah, 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 with R.
And actually, Brenda, you might be surprised, but in England, in British English, we don't actually say tomato.
Oh.
We normally say, Anna, please.
Tomato.
Oh.
So this is how surprising it can get.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we actually get into the differences, into the vocabulary, spelling, etc., differences, let's go back to the point that Brenda wanted to make before. You know, there are, you know, significant differences between European Spanish, that's Spanish from Spain, and Latin American Spanish. Brenda is Latin American. She's from the Dominican Republic, from Dom Rep. And so she's Latin. Brenda, what vocabulary or pronunciation differences shocked you as soon as you came to Spain some years ago?
For me, it's like the pronunciation, because we use S. Mm-hmm. For example, I don't say zapato, Z.
But you say it very well.
Zapato. Yeah, and I think for us, when we listen to Spanish, when we hear a Spaniard talking Spanish, it's like old-fashioned. I don't know if that happens when an American listens to
a Brit.
Yeah.
I'm sure something is like that, because if you watch a series or a TV movie, then they used to do that. I'm a follower of Family Guy, and when a British comes, it's always in that way.
Yeah, it's like very strict.
Yeah.
You know what you have to do, kill him, something like that, and
So, for example, Brenda, is there any word that you found particularly different from, from the way you speak?
Well, right now I can't really think about any specific word, but I remember when I first came here, I couldn't say the word vale. What vale means? Please, can anyone... Vale for everything. And it's like, vale, we don't use vale. We say okay, because... Maybe we shouldn't use okay, because it's an American word. That word, it's from zero kill in the war. Mm-hmm. That's the meaning of okay, like zero kill, it's everybody's alive. Mm-hmm. So we use words from the American English. Mm-hmm. Maybe we shouldn't, but instead of vale, we say okay or está bien.
Okay.
And I remember when I was working back in my country, I worked for a telephone company, we were talking and like half of the words were in English. Like instead of saying vamos a hacer una proyección, we're going vamos a hacer un forecast. And so it's like that Spanglish or something like that.
Yeah, Spanglish does exist. Yeah. Okay. We could talk about it some other week.
Yeah, that would be great.
I think that for me, the most difference is, or the most shocked word to me is coger, when you are talking with a Latin American person, because Anna doesn't love, but I will explain it to you. Okay.
But it depends on the country, because in Dominican Republic, you can say coger, it's very normal. But I think if you go to Mexico, you need to be careful.
And the, most of them. Because I lead a group of people and I was explaining them some things and just 50, I tried to say coged and they started to laugh. And it was like, what does he say? and I was shocked. And after that, I heard them and they were all the time saying tomar. Mm-hmm. Toma esto, toma lo otro.
Perhaps.
And I think this is a very tough one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Probably the most difficult for us.
Manu's been in, I think you've been in Argentina.
Yes.
And there's a word I really like from them, is la musculosa.
I don't know that one in particular.
Musculosa.
What is that?
It's a shirt without sleeves.
But it's from Argentina?
Yeah.
Or from Albacete? Well, because I heard musculosa.
I think they talk like that. Musculosa. It's, because you can see the muscles of the person.
I suppose.
Yeah.
So you always find like funny words. And and before Brenda was saying that to Latin speakers of Spanish, okay, European Spanish sounds a little bit like old-fashioned, like the way it was spoken like many years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how an American person feels when they hear somebody talk with a British accent.
But posh. Sounds posh.
Possibly.
No, but for example, I live there. For them, it's like sounds a little bit posh.
For example, when I went to Canada, okay, I remember this Canadian guy said when he heard me talk, he said, "Oh gosh, you talk like Harry Potter."
Yeah.
So you know. So that was funny. That was a funny anecdote, and yeah, that's a fact. Okay.
That's a fact. True.
Okay, fine. So, for example, something else that comes to mind is when I was living in England, I remember some American people, you know, coming into the country and being unable to pronounce some place names, okay? Like the first time you go to England and you come across place names such as Gloucester, Leicester, Norwich, I don't know, you know, Ipswich, no, that's different. But some of those names, okay, like American people struggle, okay, they have difficulties, you know, in pronouncing that. So because it's that you can never be sure, you know, how to pronounce that. So that would be another big difference, okay. So let's see some words, okay. That are very different, that can be very different between American and British English.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, for example, if we talk about clothes, okay, there are quite a few differences, okay? But, for example, the main one, the one that comes to mind first, in my case, is pants. Okay? Mm-hmm. P-A-N-T-S, pants. Right? If I tell the following sentence in America, okay? For example, do you like my pants? That's totally fine in America because pants means trousers. They mean pantalones, okay? However, if I say the same sentence, do you like my pants in Britain, okay? You might, you know, scare people away because that means that you're showing them your
underwear. Yeah.
Okay, man's underwear, calzoncillos.
Yeah.
So you know, pants is a very tricky word in this case.
So remember, the used trousers or underwear.
Exactly. You know, so pants in short, pants is a word that exists in either country, with a difference in mm-hmm. meaning. Okay.
Yeah, like, I started to use the word trousers here in mm-hmm. Cuenca because of the books. Because in back in the US, it's always pants. Uh-huh. So it's thank you for that new word.
Uh huh.
Trousers.
Okay, so Brenda, would you how about when we talk about food? Okay, there are many differences as mm-hmm, well. Okay, mm-hmm. in the vocabulary. We already know one, which is tomato yeah. in the UK and tomato yes. in the States and yes. Canada. So Brenda, can you tell us some more?
Yeah, for example, in the British we said chips. Something that kids really love, but in American, those are French fries, and it's fries because of the cut. That's like long cut. Uh-huh. And then, for example, biscuit, is British, and in America is cookies. Uh-huh. Yeah. So this is another word that really shocked me. Yeah, biscuit for me, I thought it was like a little cake. Or yeah. something like that, but when I read the word.
I think this is very useful to know it, because sometimes you have the knowledge of biscuit and uh-huh. you have the knowledge of cookie, but yes. you don't know really how to use it, or uh-huh. probably they have a different meaning. Mm-hmm. No, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. It's just British and American.
It makes no difference, actually. I mean, it's not really important, you know, which variant, which accent, or which word you use from one or the other side of the mm-hmm. Atlantic. And actually, you know, we all work with the Cambridge system mm-hmm. and they don't really mind, okay? Like, Cambridge is a British institution, as mm-hmm. everybody knows, but, you know, when you take their exams,
yes.
You know, they really don't mind if you write biscuit or cookie yeah. or if you spell a word with a certain spelling, with the British spelling
yeah.
or with the American spelling. They mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't mind.
Yeah, you can use both.
Exactly.
I think that what is important is that you know the meaning and you mm-hmm. know how to use that word.
Okay, so Anna, could you when we talk, you know, could you say anything about the spelling? Some spelling differences between mm-hmm. one type of English and the other.
Yes. For example, in British English, we have colour, but C-O-L-O-U-R, mm-hmm. whereas in American they have no U mm-hmm. in uh-huh. that one. And also things like aeroplane, which obviously creates a bit of difference in the pronunciation as well. So mm-hmm. we would spell it in Britain with like A-E-R-O-P-L-A-N-E, mm-hmm. whereas in American there is no, it starts with A-I-R and then plane.
Mm. So they say air. And then plane, whereas yes. in Britain they say mm-hmm. aeroplane.
Yes.
It's more similar to the Spanish.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm. That was a very good point. Anna, how about going to theater?
Yes.
Can you say again, Brenda?
In my America, theater.
Okay, so Anna, if you go to theater.
You. Can you say theater?
Theater.
Okay, so
the spelling difference for this one, obviously in British we would spell it T-H-E-A-T-R-E, whereas in American it's T-H-E-A-T-E-R.
Mm-hmm. So British spelling is closer to the original French spelling, mm-hmm. whereas American, I would say, is more practical. Okay, they, you know, if it's theater, you know, why should we spell it, you know, in such an old way? Perhaps that's, yeah. I think that's the American way of thinking. But either version is fantastic. Okay, so, you know, let's do some veggies, okay? Let's get to the vegetables. For example, there are many differences here, but there is one, okay, that I'm going to dedicate to Christina Vindel, okay? Because she likes it, I know it. Christina, who is half British, yes. knows that berenjena mm-hmm. is an aubergine, okay? Mm-hmm. That's A-U-B-R-E-R-G-I-N-E, okay? But in American English, okay, we say it...
Eggplant.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Eggplant. That's quite curious, isn't it? Like,
do you know why they call it eggplant?
I suppose because of the shape.
Yeah, because originally this plant, I mean, this, the eggplant, was white, like an egg, and it was like rounded. Uh-huh. The shape was rounded, but now it's purple. But the name remains eggplant.
Eggplant. Like an egg. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I read a lot. Silly things that they're useless, but
just bad. In order to play triviality, it's very interesting.
Okay, and Agus, have you ever had to look for some house to live in an English speaking country?
No, but but I know what you mean. Yes, this is the difference between flat, in British English, and apartment in USA and surroundings. So it's the same. There is no difference between them, just the vocabulary they use, or the word they use.
I would like to say something about the word apartment, okay? As an English teacher, you know, for Spanish-speaking students, they tend to spell apartment the wrong way.
I know what are you going to
you,
say.
You all know what, what I'm talking about. You know, in Spanish, as you know, the word apartamento, apartamento, right? So, you know, that makes us think that, you know, there is an extra A after the T that we don't really need, okay? So it's not apartament, right? It's apartment, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, so please be careful there, okay? Fine. And now, let's see some other words. For example, some other parts of life, okay?
For example, in the US, we can say line. Mm-hmm. So in the British language, what do we say? And
so in British, we would say Q.
Q. Mm-hmm. It's hard to spell that word, right, Manu?
It has a really hard spelling, okay? Because it's got lots of U's and E's, okay? But, you know, my advice for you as a teacher is just write it several times on a piece of paper, try to memorize the spelling, you know, just keep practicing, okay? Mm-hmm. The use of this would be, you know, there are lots of people in a queue or in a line, people were queuing, okay? People were forming a line, okay? And for example, we definitely don't have this in Cuenca, but you know, in bigger cities, we have got the underground, the underground for British speakers. How about American people? What do they say?
Subway. And I think in London, the underground is the tube, isn't it?
Yes, the tube. Yes.
Okay.
So,
Subway. You know, when I read the following word, you know, I understand that American people might think that British is a little bit old-fashioned, because sometimes, not always, but sometimes, in British English we say, I'm going to the chemist's to buy some aspirin.
It's a very good example.
Uh-huh. Whereas in America, they would never say that. They would say drugstore or pharmacy.
Yes.
Although, in England, we also say pharmacy, don't we, Anna?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so in England, chemists or pharmacy. In America, they say pharmacy as well, and they say drugstore. Okay?
Casi vamos al druida. Vamos al druida. Al alquimista, lo digo. Exagerando.
Okay? So, so I think that's all the time we have for today's fact, okay? Mm-hmm. So thanks very, very much, okay, for listening, okay? And thank you, guys. Thank you, Anna.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay. It was great to have you here today.
Thanks.
I hope you can be with us, you know, every single week. Okay. And Agus, thank you so much.
Thank you too, Manu. I'm really expecting to be here next week.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You cannot see this, but August does a fantastic job here, you know, on the decks.
Yes.
And, you know,
controlling everything.
Controlling everything. Yeah. You know, he is brilliant. Okay. So thanks very much. My name is Manu, and I'll see you. Well, see you. I'll. You'll listen to me. Okay. Next week. Okay. Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Libre de Cuenca. Radio Color, la radio libre de Cuenca.